this week here. And you know, when I think about these lessons, that, and I believe this is where God wants us to go, but man, I'm always open for a change. If here this morning, sitting on the pew down there, the chair, not the pew, if the Holy Spirit was saying, Rick, go this other direction, man, I'm going that other direction. Why? Because I want his best, and I want his best for everyone here. No one should ever leave this place saying, man, I only wish. Man, if they would have, fill in the blank. We don't want that happening here. It won't happen here. And so, you know, what I got to thinking about this lesson here, and we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. But what are the majority, what are a lot of churches in America, what are they known for? When you think of a specific church, when you think of, and maybe you won't know some of these churches, but when you think of Relentless Church, when you think of Elevation Church, when you think of Eagle Mountain Church, when you think of the Potter's House Church, what do you think about? Most of the time with those churches, they're the first thought that comes to you, the pastor of that church. Relentless Church, John Gray. Elevation Church, Stephen Furtick. Eagle Mountain Church, Kenneth Copeland. The Potter's House Church, T.D. Jakes. First thing you think about when you think about those churches. Or what is another thing that you may think about when you think about a church? You may think about their worship team. And if you think about modern day worship today, one of the first groups that you think about is Elevation Worship. Stephen Furtick's church. And I listened to it. Matter of fact, I was listening to Brandon Lake back there before I came out here today. So they got a lot of good music going on there. But another one of the things you think about is you think about the worship of the church. Or you may think about the children's ministry and the youth ministry and different things like that are going on. Years ago, it was Willie George, Gospel Bill. You know, there was Veggie Tales. And I think maybe Veggie Tales is still kind of popular today. Our house was full of Veggie Tales. I think I knew most of the Veggie Tales myself, along with Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. My daughters wore out that VHS tape, not CD, DVD, whatever. It was VHS, but they wore those things out. But when you think about these churches nowadays, a lot of times we think about those things when we think about the churches in America. Well, what if in the churches of America, we were known for a desire and a hunger for the manifest presence of God? A violent, overwhelming move of the Holy Spirit on the earth. What if we were known for that? So that when we think, we may, and I'm not saying these ministers aren't doing a good work. They're filling their spot in the kingdom of God, doing whatever it is that God's called them to do. And I'm sure there are great things happening at those churches. But a lot of times when we think about those churches, we think about the guy. We think about the worship team. We think about the kids ministry. When people think of Life Point Church, you know, are we thinking about, well, what does it offer my kids? What does it offer my youth? What is the worship going to offer me? What's the pastor got to say that's really going to make an impact in my life? It doesn't matter. I've heard preachers before that I thought, man, they're not very good preachers. But man, the Spirit of God moves there. Because they're submitted to the Spirit of God in their congregation, in their lives. They're submitted to the Spirit of God. So it wouldn't really matter who the pastor is, who the evangelist is. Whatever we think of when we think of a church, we would think about, man, the Holy Spirit's moving there. I mean, last week, I think it's been building all along, but last week I thought we had a great, this week I thought we had a great service so far. The Holy Spirit is here. And so that's the one thing that I just want to get across, is that a lot of people when they come to church, and I'm not saying you guys, but when people come to church, they come to church because it's time to go to church. But we need to come to church with an expectation that the Holy Spirit is in this place because he said he would be. And if he said he would be, then we need to have an expectation that God is going to speak in some form or fashion into our lives that will change us when we leave this place here. We will never be the same in that area ever again. We lifted our voices here with things that were going on in our lives. Supplications, requests that we had before God here this morning. And so we need to have, and we have to count on and know that he is more than able, that he said that he will fulfill every one of his promises, so that we walk out of here with a joy A joy of knowing that that is done, it's taken care of. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is here. He spoke to your heart. You spoke, you praised, you thanked. It's a done deal. It is a done deal. I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to start with verse 18. And I'm looking at this passage here as part of as the New Testament church, because this applies. You know, some people think that, well, the Old Testament, that's the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, it doesn't really apply. Man, I've gotten a lot out of the Old Testament. And so I'm going to look at Isaiah chapter 43, and let's look at it with your New Testament eyes, starting with verse 18. And this is in the Voice translation. It says, "Don't revel only in the past or spend all your time recounting the victories of days gone by." I don't care what's happened before. The Holy Spirit's here. He's wanting to show us some things. He's wanting to lead and guide us into a lot of different areas here. In verse 19, it says, "Watch closely." So he's saying, okay, get engaged, hook up, lean into, pay attention, watch closely. "I am preparing something new. It's happening now, even as I speak." Even as we are here this morning, even as you lifted your request to God, he's saying, man, I'm doing something. Pay attention. It's happening even as I speak, even as you speak. It's a done deal. He's saying, pay attention to that. And it says, "And you are about to see it. I'm preparing a way through the desert. Waters will flow where they had not been before, where there had been none." Man, you might think that it's impossible, the thing that you're requesting of God. You might think that it could never happen. It's never happened before. That doesn't even exist. There's no way. I've never known anybody that it's ever happened in their lives before. But he's saying, I'm making a way. Amen. He's saying that here it's talking about, he says, "And you're about to see it. I'm preparing a way through the desert." Man, it's dry. I don't get it. I don't see it happening. Nothing grows really in the desert. And so here I am, I'm in my desert place, but he's saying, I don't care what your desert place is, what you think your desert place is. He says here, "Waters will flow." Waters will flow where there had been none. If we had an expectation of the manifest presence of God, things will change. When we come into this place fully expecting the Spirit of God to be in here and move and transform, then we have that expectation. He said, things are about to change. Something's happening back on the ranch. You don't see it right now, but it's happening even as I speak. And it's going to happen. It's going to come into being. And it says here in verse 20, it says, "Wild animals in the field will honor me. The wild dogs and surly birds will join in. There will be water enough for my chosen people. Trickling springs and clear streams running through the desert." Have you ever seen that? Streams and running streams running through the desert. In that place where you don't find, where you find that you just don't have the answer, where you feel like it is just so dry, it is so arid, I don't know what to do in that situation. He's saying, trust me. He's saying here, he says up here earlier, he says, watch closely. Here's what's going to happen. This water is going to flow where you didn't think it was possible. All things are possible with me. You didn't think it was possible. These waters are going to start flowing in your dry places. And soon enough, that water is going to cause things to flourish. It's going to cause things to grow in your dry place. Fully expect it. The Holy Spirit wants to move in your life. "My people, the ones who I chose and created for my own, will sing." Man, when you lifted up your praise to God there for what he just did in your life, he's saying, sing. My people are going to sing. Why are they going to sing? Because something just happened. Something just happened. When it didn't seem like there was a way, something just happened. Whew. Tuesday morning, we had prayer here. Three different ministers and some of their congregation, we get together here and we pray the second Tuesday of every month. Y'all are invited too if you wanted to come. And they have donuts. This town loves its donuts. But anyway, but we had prayer, and Lonnie Stewart, pastor here in town, it was his week to lead it. And the one thing that he kept saying was, flow, flow, flow. Things in your life. God wants to flow in your life. Things in your finances, he wants to flow. Things in your physical body, there he wants to flow. Things in your emotional situation, he wants to flow. He says, I want to flow in every single area of your life. I don't want anything left out. I don't want you to feel like you're lacking in any way, shape, or form in any area of your life. I want to flow. And then we had prayer on Tuesday night. Come in here at 6 o'clock. And the thing that the Lord was showing me is that on Tuesday evening prayer, I had a vision of water flowing over the edges of heaven and gushing down. I mean, we talk about Malachi 3:10. Open up the windows of heaven and see if I won't pour out a blessing so much that you can't contain it. I've seen this flow coming from the edges of heaven, flowing down into the earth. And it's washing away. It's cleansing anything that's worn out, anything of no use, serving no real purpose, to make a way for the new to come, for the new to be revealed. There's new that he wants in each and every one of our lives. He doesn't want us to remain the same as we've always been. If you expect things to change in your life, you cannot remain the same that you've always been. You need to press into God. You need to press into his word and have an expectation that he wants to move in your life, and change will come. Those rivers and those streams will flow through your life, and the blessings of God will fall down upon you. The wisdom that you need in a given situation will come to you. Flow. Flow. So when the waters had cleared from this flow, there was a freshness. There was a new growth that began to come up. And like it said in verse 19 up there, watch closely. I'm preparing something new. It's happening even now, even as I speak. And you are about to see it. The things that you asked God for this morning, that you praised God for, are you ready to see it?
Yes.
Do you believe you're about to see it?
Yes.
He's saying here that it's on its way. In John 16:13, I use this verse a lot because I like it a lot, because it gives me a comfort. It says that Jesus says that the Spirit of truth will come, and he'll lead and guide. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read that one. I did have that one opened up. But he'll lead and he'll guide us into all truth, and he'll speak only what comes from the throne of God, and he'll show us things to come. But if I look here in the New Living Translation in verse 13, chapter 16, verse 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide. So if he's guiding, we shouldn't be guiding. We shouldn't be trying to walk out our own lives the way that we think that it should happen. If we let the Spirit of truth guide, then those streams and those trickles of water that come through the desert, that flow, that current of water that flows through the desert, man, it's going to come. If we get involved in it and we try to lead and guide, we start setting up levees, we start setting up dams, we start setting up walls, blocking the water, blocking the flow from coming through our lives. If it's in our own wills and in our own power. But if we let the Holy Spirit, it says here, he will, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. Well, where is he hearing this from? I keep saying it. What the Holy Spirit hears that he speaks to us comes from the throne room of God. So if we're learning to walk according to the Spirit, if we're learning to be led by the Spirit of God, then the things that we hear are going to come from the throne room of God, and he will show us things to come. So flowing with the Spirit, moving along in this continuous flow with the Holy Spirit, it's going to require something. It's going to require a sensitivity which is developed with an ongoing personal relationship with God. You can't conjure up the Holy Spirit on your own. You can't make things of the Spirit happen on your own. It's that relationship that you have with God that's going to cause the Holy Spirit to come forth and speak, lead and guide you into the things that you need to know, into the paths that you need to take. So the title of my sermon this morning is Flow. And I define the word flow. It says to proceed smoothly, the action of moving along in a steady, continuous current or stream. We should be walking in the things of the Spirit in a steady, continuous stream with no blockages, opening up our hearts and our minds to what it is that the Holy Spirit would say to us. You can't expect the Holy Spirit to move if you're not in relationship with Him. Ooh. Not going to happen. If you don't have a relationship with God, if you're not cultivating that relationship with God, it's going to be awfully hard to hear the Holy Spirit. It's going to be awfully hard to have Him moving in your life. Many churches aren't sensitive to the Holy Spirit and His flow because they're not in relationship. Individuals are not in relationship. God will never bless your best laid plans, especially when they're in opposition to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. We got ideas. I've got ideas on how I want to do things. I had ideas on what I wanted to do when I came out here this morning. But I laid those ideas and those plans aside. And I believe that as we're here this morning, I may not come with the most persuasive speech. I may not have a sound of my voice may not be appealing to some people's ears. But you know what? When you have an expectation of God wants to do something here, man, you can draw on what's trying to be spoken from this pulpit. We need to draw on that. We can override the Holy Spirit. He may be telling us to do something, and we can override it. We can say no. We can override the Holy Spirit, and we can have a cute, traditional service. We can. Or we can override the Holy Spirit and have a blowout service when He doesn't want a blowout service. When He wants more of a quiet, reflective type of service. We can override those things. But if we get in the habit of trying to override what it is that the Holy Spirit wants to do, then we will never see transformation in our lives. Man, it'd be fun to have a blowout service every Sunday. But there comes a time when he wants to speak to us. And I tell you what, I go back there sometimes in my office and I'm listening to music, preparing a lesson or whatever. I have to hit pause on that music over there because it's too distracting. There's too much going on. I can't hear what he's trying to say to me. And so I got to shut it down. And then I find myself just sitting there, all kinds of things coming to me. So we can override those things, but we don't want to. It's not about being formal. It's not about being emotional. It's not about being traditional. It's about being what the Holy Spirit wants us to do and be. So he has a plan for us. There was a time when I was out in Oklahoma. I had a sermon that I had to prepare. And I think I've mentioned this here before, but I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had my sermon done. But woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and the Holy Spirit's telling me, yeah, that's not the sermon you're doing. Well, I have to give this sermon at 8:30 in the morning. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I got to give the sermon at 8:30 in the morning. And he's saying, I don't want you to do that sermon. I'm like, okay. So between 3 o'clock in the morning and 8:30 in the morning, he gave me a sermon. And I presented that sermon. I've said this before, too. We were here one night on a Wednesday night. We had prayer before service. And at 6:30... for a 7 o'clock service, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to teach out of Acts chapter 6. Well, I don't have any notes for Acts chapter 6. He says, I know you don't, but that's what I want you to teach out of. So what did I do? I taught out of Acts chapter 6. I want to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit and be prepared enough to be able to say, okay, yes, whatever you want, whatever you need. Well, guess what? That requires a relationship with God and a relationship with His Word. If you're not in His Word, you can't shift gears like that if you're not spending time in the Word. You can't do it. You can't, you're walking down and you're doing your thing throughout the day. You're going to the grocery store, going to UPS like we did yesterday, and just different things like that. You're going about your business and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, hey, this person over here, just say hi to him. Well, I'm busy. I got all this stuff. I mean, that seems like something silly. Something's kind of, you know, doesn't really mean nothing. But you know what? You stop and you say hi to that person, all of a sudden it develops into something totally different. All of a sudden you find out that person's husband has just had this, or that person's wife is going through this, or their kids are going through that, or they're down to their last dollar and they don't know what to do. All because you gave that person a smile. You said hello to that person. But that's being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm walking down the road there on Aspen out there in Oklahoma. Guy coming toward me on a bicycle. And I said, and he's walking the bicycle. And I said, Lord, if you got something for me to give to him, I'm ready to give it to him. So I walk up to the guy, and the guy just kind of turned his head away from me like he's ignoring me. Didn't want to make eye contact. And I'm like, okay. Didn't say anything. But you know what? I was available. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to speak the things to people that He wants me to speak to them. I want to be available at all times to be able to speak those things. We all need to be available at all times. We kind of get these little nudges or whatever you want to call them sometimes to say, hey, say something to this person there. Well, I believe that's the Holy Spirit. When I was driving to work and I had three different directions that I could go to work, and I'd say, okay, Lord, which direction you want me to go? Well, it seemed good, and we'll get into that passage here. Some people might say, it seemed good. That doesn't sound very Bible. Well, it says it right in the Bible. It seemed good that I should go straight. So I'd go straight. Would anything have happened those other directions? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. But I wanted to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit to do what He was wanting me to do. So, how do we know that it's the Holy Spirit that we're flowing with? Well, I've said one thing already. The Holy Spirit will never do anything in opposition to the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, the Holy Spirit lines right up with it. Now, a donkey spoke to somebody in the Bible. So, yeah, I can go with a donkey can speak to somebody. But the Holy Spirit will line up with exactly what the Word of God has to say. So that there's never any confusion. You're a student of the Bible, the Holy Spirit will line up with that. And then if you start seeing things that are not in line with the Word, just know that it's not the Holy Spirit. It's the flesh. It's our carnal nature, carnal, fleshly nature. So if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit. To me, it's so simple. If it lines up with the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit. If it doesn't, it's not the Holy Spirit. So how does the Holy Spirit lead so I can know I am in the flow? Well, here's number one. The number one way He leads and we can enter the flow is through the Word of God. The Bible is the roadmap the Holy Spirit uses to lead and to guide in the flow. If we think that we can be led in any other way, anybody else's book, a lot of good Christian authors out there, but their book, it's an opinion of somebody. A lot of good, we can't be led by a book that somebody has written. I read many books. I got three books that I'm reading right now. Maybe I should stick with one, but I'm reading three at one time. But as I read them, do they line up with the Word of God? So if there's no Word, there's no flow. It becomes emotion and it's not sustainable. Some of the verses that He leads by the Word. And sometimes when you're reading the Bible, sometimes have you ever sensed when you're reading it, like certain verses pop off the page, certain words pop off the page to you? That's the Holy Spirit. Some of the verses that for me, I wrote some of them down here. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is one that, you know, it's one that I really hang on to. And it says that this is the confidence that I have in Him, that if I ask anything according to His will. Oh, what's His will? Well, His will is His Word. So if I ask anything according to His will, it says, I know that He hears me. And if I know that He hears me, then I know that I have the petitions that I ask. So if I ask anything in line with His will, anything in line with His Word, I know that He hears me. To me, that's such a comfort that I can have a confident expectation. When I ask things in line with His word, I know that He hears me. And not only does He hear me, He wants to give me what I'm asking for. That's in line with His word. So I can have a knowing when I approach God. I can have a confident expectation when I approach God that anything I ask according to His will, He hears me. Zechariah 4:6 was another one that I like here. It says, then He said to me, this is in the Amplified translation, He said, then He said to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick causes it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive tree. Let me leave that part out. It says, then He said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by anything I struggle to do, anything I stress to do, anything I worry about, anything that I try to make happen. It's not going to work the way that it would work if I would just step back and trust in God and let His power be the one that does the thing that needs to be done in my life. Not by my power, not by my might, but by His spirit. And so those two verses there in particular leap off the page to me, because I know that I have whatever I want when I ask according to His will. He hears me and He gives me what I need. And then I know here that I don't have to fuss, fight, struggle, grunt, whatever it may be, to make things happen. He's the God of the impossible, possible, whatever it may be. He's the God that makes things happen. In Genesis 16:13, it says, talking about Hagar, and she had kind of run and hid from Sarai at the time, and she's going to have a kid named Ishmael and all these different things, and God's speaking to her, and He's telling her, go back to Sarah and serve and find out what it is that, you know, submit yourself unto her. And after she had that encounter with God, it says that, so she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are a God of seeing. For she said, truly, here I have seen Him who looks after me. Isn't that just reassuring? That God is looking after us. He's looking at us. He sees us. He sees what we're going through. He has a Holy Spirit that's roaming around down here amongst us, saying, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. He sees what you're going through. I know it's hard sometimes, but you know what? I've got the answer. And here it is. If you'll just take time, just take a few minutes to follow me to see where I'm going, I can show you how to get out of the mess that you're in. Because He sees us. Another way the Holy Spirit flows and can recognize, and we can recognize we're in the flow, is He flows through the church. The people God sends to us to teach and to help us. If we look at Hebrews 10:25, very familiar verse, talking about the people of the church, says, not forgetting to gather as a community, as some have forgotten, but encouraging each other, especially as the day of His return approaches. The Holy Spirit uses each and every one of us in each other's lives. Now, He can do it outside these four walls. We can meet, we can gather with other believers, other like-minded people. But man, I just believe too that He wants us to come here and He wants us to commune with one another. He wants us to be a part of each other's lives. He wants us to share various things that we have. He wants us to bring our supply. And when we do, that He's here in the midst of us, He can take whatever that supply is and He can make sure that everybody gets their share. Nobody goes without. In Acts chapter 3, verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves, after Peter had preached this big old sermon, it says that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. They were all together. They met together. There was nobody that had a need. They met in the name of the Lord. The word was preached. Signs and wonders were going on. They shared food. They shared money. They sold property. All these different things. They communed with one another. The Holy Spirit was in their midst. He wants to move in and amongst us with each other, with the church. He wants to move in the church. The church isn't this building. The church is you people, us people, me people. He wants to move in that way. In 1 Corinthians 12:14, another way he wants to move is through spiritual gifts. And I'm going to read some verses here real quick. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit wants to manifest himself amongst us. That's why 1 Corinthians 12 is here. He's wanting to let us know that the Spirit wants to manifest himself amongst us, but it's as the Spirit wills, not as we will, not as we try to force. But it says here, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So when the manifestation of the Spirit is in and amongst us and he wants to move, it's for the profit of all. It's for the benefit of the people in this church. It's for the benefit of the people of God when the Spirit is moving. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, talking about things to come. One is to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, that's talking about the now, the present, the past. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. No, it's just the same Spirit, the Spirit. He wants these things for us, but he's in and amongst it. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Spirit of God wants to move in our presence, and he wants these gifts of the Spirit to be manifested in our presence for our benefit as he wills. So he wants to move through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He wants to flow through visions and dreams. That's another way that we can know. In Acts 2:17, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Wow. I'm going to pour out my Spirit. Well, he's already said that in John 16:13. The Holy Spirit's going to come. Well, now he's pouring out his Spirit upon all people. It says here that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. These things happen because we spent time to cultivate a relationship with God and realize that his Holy Spirit wants to move in and amongst us. And if we have that expectation, guess what? You're going to dream dreams. You're going to have visions. The gifts of the Spirit are going to be in operation in your midst. As a body, we're going to look out for the needs of one another. And then the last one here, number five, he flows through, it seemed good. I mentioned that earlier. Sometimes you, when you maybe don't have clear definition of what to do, it seems good that we should go this way here. Well, in Acts chapter 15, they had what they called the Council of Jerusalem. And some of the Gentiles had gotten, the common folk, they had gotten born again. They started believing in God. And some of the Pharisees are like, yeah, well, great. But we still want them to follow the law of Moses. We want them to be circumcised and do all these other things. Well, it wasn't going over very well with some of the people. So they sent some guys down there to Jerusalem. They had this little meeting talking about some things. And finally, James, the leader of the Jerusalem church, he steps up and says, okay, here's what we're going to do. And so they sent back to these Gentiles to give them a word as to what it is that they were supposed to do. And it says, since we have heard that some of you who went out, is Acts chapter 15, 24, since we have heard that some of you went out from us, have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. trying to put our own rules and regulations on people when the Word of God doesn't say that. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth, for it seemed good to who? To the Holy Spirit. Oh, not only to us, but it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Well, that's kind of obvious that we don't do some of those things there. But you'll keep yourself from those things. In Acts, so it's talking about the flow. Five things there that we can know that we are in the flow. Things that will give us an indication of how the Holy Spirit wants to flow. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1, Paul was being led as to where he should minister. And I'm going to read some of these verses. I'm going to read them really quickly. A couple of things I really want to get into here before we get done. But in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, Paul went first to, he's left, he's going out and he's heading down to see where he should minister. Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. So, goes on down there. So now you got Paul and Timothy heading out. It says, next, Paul and Silas flowed through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north to the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went to Mysia, to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. These people down in Macedonia, they wanted him to come down there and minister there. So he went down to Macedonia. And so there, and then in verse 13, it says, on the Sabbath, we went to a little way outside the city to the riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer and sat down to speak with some of the women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. So flowing with the Spirit led Paul to Lydia. Going to these other places, he wouldn't have been led to Lydia, to where she was born again and her whole household, and they were baptized. Carrie and I, years ago, we went on a missions trip to Brazil. And we were there for a period of time, and when we came back, it was like I was homesick for Brazil, and I hadn't been there that long. But I identified with the ministry that was going on there so much so that I was homesick. It was hot. It was humid. It was dusty. It was miserable to the flesh, but I loved every minute of it. I could have made a case for staying in Brazil. Man, we're serving God. We're on the Amazon. We're, you know, out in these villages ministering to the people in the Amazon jungle and all these different things. I could have made a case for staying there. And they would have loved to have had us there. Every missionary thinks everybody should be a missionary. But they would have loved having us there. I could have made a case for that. But if we would have stayed there in Brazil, if we would have went to Brazil, I had been at the prison for 7 years working there. And if we had gone to Brazil, I never would have met Ollie Staten. Ollie Staten, a convicted murderer, on his deathbed. The Lord is telling me to go into his room and speak to him. I'm at the hospital. I walked by his room 3 times before the Holy Spirit finally said to me, do you believe this stuff or not? If you believe it, get in that room and tell him about Jesus. And so finally, when that final, you know, kick in the pants happened there, I said, okay. So I went into the room. Couldn't speak, but he could hear what I said, and he could acknowledge by shaking his head. And so I told him about Jesus. Asked him if he wanted to receive Jesus as a Savior. And he says, yes, and I prayed with him. 3 days later, he died. If I'd been in Brazil, I would have known Ollie Staten. few years later, I go over to a friend of mine. His mom is dying over in Macomb, Illinois. And where I lived, I'm 2.5, almost 3 hours from Macomb. But the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. How do I know it's the Holy Spirit? Because what he's telling me in this moment is lining up with what the Word of God is saying. And I was sensitive enough to know the voice of the Holy Spirit to say yes. And so I jump in my car and I drive 2.5 hours to Macomb, Illinois, thinking, okay, Lord, there's going to be doctors and nurses in the room. How do I get a moment alone with him, with her, to be able to share you with her? And so I get there to the hospital room. Sure enough, there's a doctor in the room. As soon as I'm walking in, he walks out. It's just the two of us in the room. She could speak at the time, but she was dying. I shared Jesus with her. She accepted Jesus as her Savior. She died just a few days later. I know she's in heaven now. I shared with what I did with their mom when the family got there, what I had said to their mom and talked to their mom. And they all just became emotional and were saying, we were hoping somebody would come and talk to our mom. If I'd stayed in Brazil, I never would have met Tim's mom. If we would have stayed in Brazil, we never would have made our way here. And I know there are lives in this place here that the Holy Spirit, he's speaking to us now, that there are lives here that need us to be here. And we need the lives of those people in our lives. So we want to be led by the Spirit of God. Carrie and I, when we first got married, we knew that we were supposed to be married. We had some opposition to that. But we were both believers. We trusted God. We wanted to be led by the Spirit of God, and we knew that we were supposed to be married. And so there was opposition from family. There was things thrown in front of me that if you'll accept this instead of getting married, then that would be good. I was offered to go to Hawaii and attend college in Hawaii. And I thought, no. Holy Spirit's telling me that Carrie and I are supposed to be married. And there were people on the day that we were supposed to be married that had threatened not to come to the wedding, key people in our family. But we knew that we were supposed to be married. So on the day that we walked down to get to the church, we're there at the church, who was in the church that day? Those key people in their brand new outfits sitting on the front row. We knew that we were supposed to be married. God has put Carrie and I together for such a time as this. She's been somebody in my life that when I'm at my wit's end, back when we had pagers, I would call her and pay phones. I would stop at a payphone and I would call her. And just to be that stabilizing force at that time in my life was what I needed. The Holy Spirit knew that she needed to be in my life. This June will be 40 years that we've been married. I look forward to seeing her every day. I used to have guys tell me, I said, man, I look forward to going home to my wife every day. They look at me like I'm nuts. But I look forward to seeing her every day. Look forward to spending time with her. But you know what? All this comes about, and I'm going to tie this all back up. All this comes about to spending time with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life. When the Holy Spirit is center in your life, when God is the focus of your life, all these other things around you come into focus. Your relationships, the ministry that you're supposed to be doing, the places that you're supposed to go, the things that you're supposed to do, all these things start to come back into focus because we're being led by the Spirit of God. In this place here, there's going to be moments that we have that we're going to have times of the Spirit of God may fall here and we're just silent for an hour. I don't say a word. But in that hour that we're sitting here and we're listening, key word, listening for what the Holy Spirit has to say, man, our lives could blow up. We could have all kinds of magnificent, marvelous things take place in our lives from that moment forward. So as we come here from now on, we got to come with expectation. We got to come with expectation that the Holy Spirit, He wants to meet us here. God wants to meet us here, and He wants to do miraculous things in our lives. Amen. Father, I just thank you for this day and this moment. You said this is the day you've made, and we're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad in it. Father, knowing that your Holy Spirit is in this place, I believe already speaking to the hearts and the minds of the people in this place, that we're looking for opportunity to be able to hear your voice. We're looking for opportunity to be able to obey your voice. And so, Father, as we leave this place here today, we know that you're going to go with us, speak to us, lead us, guide us to do the things that you've called us to do for the benefit of others.